Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us for this month's Abundant Life Online Worship Experience, our ALO, we call it. Glory to God. What a wonderful time we're having in His presence. What a glorious opportunity that the Lord has given to us to be able to come together again around His Word. We are truly blessed. Hallelujah. We are truly blessed. We are truly favored. The Lord loves us. The Lord has done amazing things for us. He's a wonderful Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. I pray the blessings of the Lord upon you, upon your loved ones, wherever you are. This same glory that is right here with us here, I pray that wherever you are in the world, anywhere you are in the world, whatever platform you may be joining this service on, I pray this same glory that is right here will be with you. This same awesome presence that is right here will be with you today, that you will encounter the glory of the resurrection of the living Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to take our 2025 confessions. Glory to God. Wherever you are, these confessions are extremely powerful. The Lord's really blessed us all of this year with them. But I just want us to, again, slowly take them together in this service. Wherever we are, we're probably at home, some of us in our cars, maybe in the hospital, where you have time. We have time to devote some time to the Word of God today and get the full blessings and the full benefits of everything that the Lord has prepared for us in this service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go together. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvests, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by His mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely, He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet with long life. He satisfies me, and He is showing me His salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wound, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this word that is established in every one of our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. The glory of the resurrection. The glory of the resurrection. That's what we're ministering on today. The glory of the resurrection. Hallelujah. We had such a glorious celebration. Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, hallelujah. In person, in service, we were so blessed. The Lord's presence was so mighty amongst us. And I believe that the Lord wants us to extend a lot of that glorious presence, that glorious impartation that He gave to us in person, to continue that during our ELO service this month. So I am going to press further and revisit again where we were on Resurrection Sunday morning, the glory of his resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the gift of redemption. The resurrection changed everything. It was because of the resurrection of Christ that you and I were called out of darkness and we were called into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God. It's because of the resurrection that our lives have been completely changed. Glory to God. We were in the world going nowhere. We were lost, completely lost, completely lost under the oppression and under the yoke of satanic influences, demonic spirits, counsels of devils. But Jesus came and set us free. Jesus came and brought us life. Jesus came and brought us light. Jesus came and brought us glory. And now we're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints of God. We are members of the household of the Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the resurrection, the glory of the resurrection. I want us to go and read together in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And I'm going to read verses 18 and 19 from the Passion Translation. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 from the Passion Translation. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me." Glory to God. All authority of the universe. The word authority is from the original Greek word exousia. It means the power of rule. It means dominion. Hallelujah. It means the ability to exercise dominion on a domain. Jesus said, "All authority on earth, in heaven, has been given to me." Glory to God. And then in verse 19, he says, "Now go in my authority." He's saying to you and to me, now go in my authority. All authority has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go and make disciples. And what will this authority, what will it help us do? Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Mark chapter 16 and from verse 17. What will this authority help us do? Glory to God. It says, "And these miracles and signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in new tongues." This is still the Passion Translation. Verse 18, "They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. They will lay hands on the sick and heal them." After saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven. He sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. I'm going to switch and go read that from the Amplified Version. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. "These attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will get well." This authority will help us to change the world. But we can't talk about changing the world until we change our own lives, until we change our own situations. This authority that Jesus received is to help us come into the God class, to live the highest quality of life that is possible on this earth. Remember, from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness, there was no death, there was no depression, there was no anxiety, there was no poverty, there was no oppression, there was none of the evil that Satan has introduced into the world. He's the God of this world. None of that evil existed in the Garden of Eden. Well, praise God. Jesus came to redeem us and to reintroduce us to the Garden of Eden. We know that. We know that. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us by faith, and so that we may receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Well, glory to God, we have been redeemed from every curse. There is no curse that has a place in our lives. The curse of sin, the curse of sickness, the curse of poverty, the curse of spiritual death and physical death, all of those curses are broken. The Bible says the last enemy that will be conquered will be death. That's talking about physical death. Hallelujah. At the very end, the last enemy that will be conquered will be death. So all of us are going to go through the corridor of death if the Lord tarries, is coming. But even death has lost its power over us. When a believer dies, they don't die. They sleep. The Bible says they go to sleep. And what happens when you sleep? You wake up in the morning. You go to sleep at night, you wake up in the morning. That means there's a resurrection for you and for me. There's a resurrection in the morning for you and for me. We are not dying like the world. When we leave this earth and we walk through the corridor of death, the Bible says we go to sleep. There's a resurrection coming in the morning. You and I will wake up on the other side after we leave this earth with new glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we will be in the presence of our Father forever, worshiping Him, praising Him, glorifying Him, ruling the nations with Him. Hallelujah. Ruling the nations with Him. That's the glory of the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ guarantees our own resurrection. The second life, the second birth that we receive through Christ guarantees that we will will be raised up from the dead. Hallelujah. We'll be raised up from the dead. In Psalm 110, is one of the Psalms of the resurrection, talking about the glory, the victory, and the power of Christ that was established, that was effected during the resurrection. In Psalm 110, in the King James, it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, but you and I are sitting right there with Him. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. That is the church. There is strength coming out of the church. There is glory coming out of the church. You and I are not weaklings. You and I are not helpless people on this earth. We are not the low of the earth. We are not the disadvantaged. No, 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 no. You and I are seated on the right hand of the Father in majesty, exercising dominion and authority. He said, the Lord will send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. God is ruling through us. Verse 3, your people will be willing in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Verse 4, the Lord has sworn and He will not repent. You are a priest forever, even after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at your right hand will strike through kings in the day of His wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. The Amplified Bible says in verse 11, he will drink of the brook by the way. Therefore will he lift up his head triumphantly. He will lift up his head triumphantly. Because Jesus rose up from the dead, your head can be lifted up triumphantly. Your head can be lifted up triumphantly. That's why that other psalm of the resurrection in Psalms 24, lift up your heads, O you gates. Well, the gates lifted up their heads when the King of Glory came in. Now it's time for you to lift up your own heads. The Bible says your redemption is near. That is, we have already entered into redemption, but our eternal, complete, final redemption, the redemption of our physical bodies, when our these natural bodies will be changed into the glorious new bodies that God has prepared for us. So we rejoice because our redemption is near. But even while we are on this earth, the Bible says that the whole creation is mourning, is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's in Romans chapter 8. The entire creation is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. The entire creation. Well, that's us. This entire creation, our lives, the world around us, communities around us, our families, our nations, our cities are crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are saying, when will the sons of God lift up their heads triumphantly? When will the sons and the daughters of God, when will they lift up their heads and do something about what is going on in this world? When will they bring change? When will they enforce the authority of the risen Christ in the situations of the earth, in the situations in the lives of those that are around them, in the situations of their communities? When will the people of God lift up? When will they lift up their heads triumphantly like Jesus did at the resurrection? Glory to God. It says there in Romans chapter 8 verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. They are looking for the manifestation of the children of God. It says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Hallelujah. The entire creation is looking for the manifestation of the children of God. So the second resurrection psalm I was going to read in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. Here, Psalms 24, and from verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. It's time for the church to lift up its head. It's time for you, every believer, every child of God, every son and daughter of Zion, to lift up their heads triumphantly. Triumphantly. We are not the low of the earth. We are not disadvantaged people. No. We are not the ones under the rule and captivity of Satan. We used to be under captivity, but we have been delivered. Hallelujah. He led captivity captive, the Bible says, and he gave gifts unto men. We have been completely delivered. The Bible says we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus did a complete and a finished work on the cross of Calvary. You know, in Colossians chapter 2, glory to God. In Colossians chapter 2, thank you, Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, hallelujah. And verses 14, actually, let's read that from verse 13, and let's read that from the New King James Version. It's one of the scriptures we read last week as well. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. We used to be dead in our trespasses. We used to be dead under the yoke of bondage of Satan. But now we have been made alive with him. We are forgiven. We have been made alive together with him. We have been made alive together with him. Can you say that with me? I have been made alive together with Jesus. Say that again. I have been made alive together with Jesus. It says in verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Every negative thing that was written against you has been nailed to the cross of Jesus. Every negative report that was sent from the pit of hell against you has been nailed to the cross of Jesus. Every evil plan, every evil agenda that Satan had concerning you, concerning your family, concerning your future, concerning your destiny, every evil plan that Satan has drafted and put together and concocted against you, the Bible says, have been nailed to the cross. Why? Because Jesus did a finished work. Jesus did a complete work. And everything he did during that resurrection was for you and for me. Hallelujah. He said in verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus did a complete work. Jesus did a complete work on the cross of Calvary. You and I must not leave any of the benefits of our redemption on the table. We must not let the enemy cheat us of any of our rights. Hallelujah. Jesus did a complete work at the resurrection. Jesus did a complete work at the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, you and I are now elevated to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. Far, 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 far above, far above. Satan and you are not at the same level. Sickness and you are not at the same level. The devil and us, we are not at the same level. When we talk, he has to obey. When we decree, he has to move. The power and the glory of the resurrection gave you and I a brand new status. We are members of the God class. We are now members of the family of God. This is why Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. He prayed that the eyes of their understanding might be opened so that they may know what the resurrection accomplished for them. They may know what is available to them in Christ. They may know the glory of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. That's why he prayed for them, prayed for the church. I believe Jesus is still praying this prayer for you and for me. Because so many believers are living in Lodibar. Lodibar. That is, they are living under their God-given privileges. They are living as though Jesus didn't die. They are living as though redemption didn't happen. They are living as though Jesus is still in the grave. You remember, like the apostles, the disciples of old, who even after Jesus was risen from the dead, they were still hiding in the basement. And Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "Go and tell all my disciples, I'm risen from the dead, and I'm going ahead of you to Galilee." He was already risen from the dead, but they were hiding in the basement as though redemption didn't happen, as though the resurrection didn't happen. That's how many believers are living today. And so the Bible says, Paul prayed, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be open, will be enlightened. I pray that you will be able to lay hold on what is available to you in Christ." I pray that same prayer today for you, that you will be able, that finally you will be able to lay hold on what is available to you in Christ Jesus. I pray that same prayer for you today, that finally you will be able to lay hold, to seize what is yours in Christ by the resurrection. Hallelujah. He said in Ephesians 1:15, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power," verse 20, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Verse 21, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." That you and I may know, that the eyes of our understanding may become enlightened, that we may know the exceeding greatness of his power, as the power of his resurrection. That we may know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked when he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That you and I, the eyes of our understanding may become fully open. That you and I may be able to see how everything that Jesus accomplished at the resurrection was for you and for me. That our eyes may be fully open to see, to know the exceeding greatness of God's power. Remember at the beginning we started out in Matthew 18:28-19. Jesus said, all authority in the universe, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Then he said, now you go in that authority. Well, why did he say that? Because everything he accomplished at redemption, he accomplished for you and he accomplished for me. Hallelujah. The Bible says he has been raised up and now he sits in the heavenly places far above all principalities and powers. But guess what? You and I are seated in that same place, in the heavenly places with him, with Christ on the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and power. Far above all principalities and power. The same glory, the glory of the resurrection, the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead was put upon you and me. When Jesus called us out of death into life, That same glory that raised him from the dead was put upon you and me when Jesus called us out of darkness and brought us into light. We are seated, all of us. Look at it there. It continues this in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. He says, "And you he has made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." Verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he has made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he has raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ." Notice there where he says in verse 5, "When we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ." And then he says in verse 6, "He has raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places." The same glory that raised Jesus up from the dead was put upon us. The Bible says, "For him who he knew, he foreknew, he also predestinated." He knew us before the foundation of the world. He predestinated us. He called us. He justified us so that he may glorify us. So he may put glory upon our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says in Hebrews, he came to call sons and daughters into glory. The same glory that raised Jesus from the dead was put upon our lives. Hallelujah. "For whom he did foreknow," it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. You and me, he foreknew us long before the foundations of the world. He predestinated us. He called us. He justified us so that he may glorify us. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. "For whom," let's take it from verse 28, glory to God, "we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." No matter what is going on in your life today, it must work for your good. Why? Because of the power of the resurrection. No matter what you are experiencing in any area of your life today, it must work for your good wherever you are in your life. No matter the experience, some of you, there might be somebody out there today, I believe, who is dealing with something that is beyond what you thought you would ever have to deal with in your life. Someone is out there wondering, how am I going to get through this? I just want you to know that situation must work together for you. It has to. Why? Because of the power and the glory of the resurrection. Jesus did a finished work. It is already finished. You know when he hung on the tree, he said it's finished? That situation must work for your good. There is no ifs or buts. There is no controversy about it. That situation will work together for your good. There's glory coming out of it. I said there's glory coming out of it. Hallelujah. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." For whom, verse 29, "for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus may be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover," verse 30, "whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. Look at verse 31. What then can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us. And I want you to know, that's a covenant statement. If God be for us, who can be against? That's not a question. That's a covenant statement. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What can be against us? What situation? Who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love the way the Message translation puts that scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? We cannot lose. It is impossible for us to lose. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You and I are destined for glory. Jesus came to call us into glory. The same glory, the glory of the Father that raised him up from the dead at the resurrection, was placed upon us. That glory distinguishes us. That glory separates us. That glory elevates us. That glory establishes us. That glory gives us the victory. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That glory will elevate us to realms that we have never ever been. Realms that we have never ever known. First in the spirit, and then in different areas of our lives. That glory will mark us out. People will see us from afar. You know how you can see light in darkness, no matter where you are. If you are driving in the night and you're on the dark, everything is night, is darkness, and some light from a distant place emerges. You will see it from wherever you are. Hallelujah. That light is the same light that those wise men saw when Jesus was born. That light is the same light that illuminates your life. The Bible says, for that life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot understand it, cannot comprehend it. You are a partaker of that light. You have been delivered from darkness. Darkness no longer has a stranglehold over your life. Darkness no longer has dominion over you. There is no work of darkness that can subdue you. There is no work of darkness that can withstand you. Witches and wizards, witchcrafts. There is no darkness that can withstand you. There is no darkness that can subdue you. The glory of the Father has been placed upon you. That light will cause your life to emerge, will cause glory to emerge in your life. Remember, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60, arise and shine. It's a prophetic scripture because of the resurrection. Arise and shine. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the finished work at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the glory of your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. That's why that prophet prophesied in Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. God's glory will be seen upon you. The same glory that raised Jesus up from the dead was put upon you. That glory will be seen upon you. Somebody say, "Remember, that glory will be seen upon me. The glory of God will be seen upon me. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon me." I hope you believe that. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon you. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon you. This is not over. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon you. The Lord told me to tell somebody, it is not over. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon you. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon you. Where people were wailing, where people were mourning, where people were crying, the glory will emerge. The glory of the resurrection will be seen upon you. God will distinguish you. In fact, he says, right, the men will come, Gentiles will come to the brightness of your shining. Hallelujah. The Gentiles, he says in verse 3, the Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. The glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. This is the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Is the same glory that was placed upon us. It's why he's called the King of Glory. The same glory that raised Jesus up from the dead will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it was the glory of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And that glory was put upon you. That's why the Bible tells us, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if the princes of this world had known. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to come to Romans in just 1 minute. Just bear with me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. Which none... Over 7 first, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We are destined for glory. We are candidates for God's glory. Glory must come out of this. Somebody say that with me. Glory must come out of this. Glory must come out of this. I don't care what you are dealing with today. The Lord sent me to tell you, glory must come out of this. Because of the resurrection, glory must come out of this. Glory must come out of this. Hallelujah. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Glory must come out of this. Look at how glory raised him up from the dead. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh my goodness. If we have been planted, if we have shared in the fellowship of his suffering, if we have been joined together with him in his death, then we also will be beneficiaries of the glory of God. Glory must come out of this. Before this is over, the world must see the glory of God upon your life and my life. Before this is over, your family must see the glory of God upon your life. Before this is over, your co-workers must see the glory of God upon your life. Before this is over, your neighbors must see the glory of God upon your life. He says, just as we're buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That as we have been in the likeness, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's go and close out today. Hallelujah. We have so much more to do, so much more ground to cover. Lots of ways to go, but I'm going to have to stop here. I believe we have capped out for today, for this one service, the glory of his resurrection. The glory of his resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise for the glory of your resurrection. Lord, we give you praise for the glory of your resurrection. Lord, we give you praise for the glory of your resurrection. Father, we give you praise for the glory of your resurrection. Hallelujah. I want us to close out in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, and I want to read that from the English Standard Version. Hebrews chapter 2, and from verse 9, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the glory of your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, we are partakers. We are made partakers of the glory of your resurrection. Thank you, Father, we are made partakers of the glory of your resurrection. Thank you, Father, we are made partakers of the glory of your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. We are made partakers of the glory of your resurrection. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm going to read this and close this service out from the English Standard Version. Close out this message. But we see him, Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. We see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels. You know why he was made a little lower than the angels for a little while? Because of his humility. Because he stripped himself of his divinity, stripped himself of his equality with God, of his privileges. The Bible says in Philippians 2, he stripped himself, he stooped so low and became obedient even unto the death on the cross. That's the price he paid. That's the ultimate sacrifice Jesus made for this glory. That's why glory has to come out of our lives. The glory of God has to come up, has to emerge in our lives. Jesus paid too high a price. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. Look at it. We see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he may taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom are all things, or for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, sons and daughters to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. It was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus came to call you to glory. I'm not talking about the glory that will be manifest when we pass on to heaven. Yeah, there's great glory that's incomparable, that we can't even talk about. It's too big, it's too glorious, it's too majestic. But there's glory on this earth for you. The glory of the resurrection. The glory of the resurrection is on this earth for you. The glory that will emerge in every situation of your life because of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made. The glory that will change your forgotten situation and bring you to the place of elevation and glory. The glory that will cause you to arise and be the best that God created you to be. No wonder the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not yet entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. There's glory prepared for you, my friends. There's glory prepared for you. The glory of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For it was fitting, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, sons and daughter to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Wherefore signs and wonders. That's Isaiah 8:18. I and the children God has given, wherefore signs and wonders. Everything that God accomplished in Jesus, he has accomplished in you. Jesus paid that ultimate price. He made the ultimate sacrifice so that you could share equality with him. The Bible calls us joint heirs with Christ. You and I are joint heirs. That whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us through redemption. The glory of the resurrection has been made available to us. There must be glory. There must be glory in every situation of our lives. Let's close this out. In verse 14, it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Even death has lost its power over us because of the glory of the resurrection. Every kind of death must bow to the name of Jesus. Every form of corruption must bow to the name of Jesus. As we invoke the name of Jesus, as we take our place in this glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, every corruption must bow to the name of Jesus. We are not done yet. We are going to a place higher and higher that no eye, no mind has ever conceived, no eye has ever seen. It's the glory of the resurrection. The heavens await the emergence. The glory of the resurrection. There are heights that you and I will rise to. Heights that will cause men to say, is that him? Is that her? The glory of his resurrection. There are miracles that will happen in our lives that will move every stone and every obstacle out of the way. The glory of his resurrection. That will change our form and change our lives and change our story. The glory of the resurrection. Can you stand to your feet today? Let's thank God for the glory of the resurrection. Let's thank God for the glory of the resurrection. Wherever you are, go ahead. Thank God for the glory of the resurrection. Thank God for the glory of the resurrection. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Thank God for the glory of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. That I might, he said, come. I have not fully realized why he called me that, but I might come, I might emerge, I might become everything that he created me to be, the glory of his resurrection. Say, not as though I had already attained unto it. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If by any means not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said in verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. I press towards the mark. Thank God for the glory of his resurrection. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your holy name. We give you praise. We give you praise, O God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.